This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, September 30th, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. Bernie Sanders wants to improve your credit score, or at least improve the way it's calculated. But would a score subject to more direct political constraints actually provide a more reality-based measure of credit worthiness? Cato's Diego Zuluaga comments. There are three that I'm aware of. Credit reporting agencies. They are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Now, that alone sends up sort of red flags for me that there are only three of these agencies that hold such sway over Americans' ability to secure credit. But Bernie Sanders wants to go one better. He wants to put all of them out of business. Why?
So Bernie Sanders' campaign has proposed to create what they call a public credit scoring system to replace the existing scores that credit bureaus come up with. Not replace in the sense of necessarily ban the other credit bureaus, but to provide an alternative that would be constructed differently, right? Now, credit bureaus collect information about people's credit history, payment history. They use various different models to come up with a measure of how likely any borrower is likely to repay credit. And the way they do business is both by divulging to customers themselves what their credit score is and sort of additional information about what the factors are that have helped or hindered better performance. But they also sell credit scores to financial institutions so that those institutions can do their own underwriting. It's important to note that the credit score is an important measure, but it's not the only one that lenders use when deciding whether to lend to somebody and at what rate. Most lenders do their own underwriting as well. And a big component of any credit score comes from an organization called FICO, the Fair Isaac Corporation. And what they do is they've come up, and they continue to, with some tweaks, come up with a series of measures that together seem to be quite predictive of one's likelihood to repay. And they include how big your credit limit is currently and how much of it you're using, how many payments in the past, if any, you have missed, whether you've recently applied for other credit, and so on. And that's quite predictive of repayment, but increasingly what we see in the market is particularly fintech lenders, but lenders in general, are using other information from borrowers, sometimes cash flow information, other times information about their work or their educational history or other things to better predict whether a borrower is likely to repay and to minimize the extent to which they deny people who otherwise would be good credits. That's the background. Now, the allegation from the Sanders campaign is that credit scoring right now is discriminatory, that it's hurting, particularly at the bottom of the income spectrum, and hurting people of color and people who have historically been disadvantaged by, whether institutions or laws or the practices of certain businesses. And so they propose to come up with a credit score that will mitigate that kind of discrimination. And that's the crux of the problem there, because what they would want to do is to minimize the impact of factors that are probably relevant in assessing whether someone is likely to repay. Because, for example, your income, which is correlated with race and obviously with socioeconomic status in general, naturally, is predictive of likelihood to repay. It also determines how much credit you will be able to get, so it affects your FICO score potentially. So there are a lot of factors that do seem to have disparate effects depending on protected classes, but those are entirely justified by business reasons. And so it's often the legacy of historical discrimination plus other factors that are determining these outcomes rather than the policy of any credit scoring institution.
So I suppose, what does the Bernie credit score look like?
They haven't specified it, is the long and short of it. The idea would probably be to come up with a rate that is less correlated with socioeconomic status and other personal traits that are seen as irrelevant with your likelihood to repay. But as I say, it's all very tricky because you cannot have credit flow efficiently, and you cannot have rational allocation of capital in the economy without what's called risk-based pricing, that is adjusting the interest rate to the likelihood to repay. And credit history is very predictive of the likelihood of repayment. So credit scores are predictive. And to the extent that government comes in, wants to come up with its own variant of this and potentially make it the only available alternative, the chances of things going very wrong are high, because politicians have an incentive to encourage financial institutions to lend on unsustainable terms to try and satisfy particular constituencies, or to create a credit boom that will maximize their chances of re-election, or otherwise to play with variables that will further down the road have very, very deleterious consequences. One of the ways in which we saw this take place is in the run-up to the financial crisis, the way that politicians continuously increased the affordable housing goals of the housing finance enterprises to bring more housing credit to low-income people. Now, the irony of this all is that, the sad irony is that a lot of those people did get credit, and very briefly they became homeowners, and then as soon as the crisis hit, they were out of their home, and their credit scores became even worse because of default or even bankruptcy or various other factors. And in that way, they weren't made any better off by these kinds of shenanigans. And I fear that this would be the stepping stone to basically a government mandate monopoly of credit scoring that lenders would be forced to use under penalty of prosecution for discrimination otherwise, and would seriously misallocate credit and actually end up in financial distress for a lot of the people that Sanders's constituents and supporters seem to want to help.
Whatever you say about credit reporting agencies that exist today, a government run, even if a transparently run, algorithm to predict credit worthiness, there is a country that has something similar, and that's China.
That's right. And the results don't seem particularly happy. China has been implementing what they call a social credit score for some time and in some limited capacity. And what this score is supposed to reflect is both economic performance and some of the variables that are seen in the credit scores that are available in free societies, but also to be used to reward or penalize particular behaviors that the Chinese government considers positive or negative. And of course, in the context of a tyrannical government like China's, that means that if you post something against the government online, or if you are somehow seen as socially destructive, or perhaps find yourself spending some time in jail, all of those things will affect your social credit score. And in turn, that social credit score is increasingly used to determine your eligibility for certain benefits and rights. So people with low social credit scores, for example, are sometimes not allowed to fly. If they want to move around the country, they have to use much slower transportation media and perhaps more expensive ones. And in that way, the Chinese government is using what was nominally intended to be something that would promote efficiency to actually enforce compliance and obedience from a population. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily U.S. institutions would countenance that kind of use of a public credit score. But as I say, the moment government can begin, however transparently, and of course, when they say transparent, they typically only mean they tell you their intentions rather than their operations. But even if we take it at face value that it will be transparent, it doesn't mean it will be efficient. It doesn't mean it will be a good predictor of likelihood to repay. And of course, what's going unmentioned in this campaign for a government monopoly of credit scoring is that actually the market is already supplying complements and supplements to the existing credit scoring system to improve access to credit. So there's a lot of evidence coming out from a series of papers, actually, from the Philadelphia Fed, from Julapa Jagtiani, who is an economist there, and she's been working on this subject for quite some time, finding that invariably fintech lenders focus on geographies that are underserved by banks, where there are fewer bank branches and there's less competition. They are using different credit scoring models that are better predictors than FICO on its own would be. of the likelihood to repay, and in other ways, trying to reach populations which are very attractive populations to serve because for a long time they haven't had much access to credit. And so they're eager to get it. And a lot of them are actually turning out to be very good credits. And this is, of course, a virtuous cycle. They can, by getting a credit card or a personal loan, they can begin to build a credit history that goes on to raise their credit score and increasingly opens up opportunities for additional access to credit and capital in the future. So a lot of the beneficial things that we'd like to see from a more dynamic underwriting environment, where credit scores really play a major role, that's already happening provided by the private market. So this kind of effort or the idea that one can motivate a discussion about creating a monopoly on this front because of an absence of dynamism is a red herring.
Diego Zuluaga is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.